What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, in one of the fun storylines of this weekend, Ben Johnson was the guy that everyone thought Washington was going to end up with. They were flying to interview him for a second time. I still believe if he wanted that job, he probably would have been their coach. But he called the Hogs, the Harris Ownership Group, while they were in the air, flying to go meet him for a second interview, and said, "Nah, never mind, I'm good, I'm pulling my name, I'm not going to be your coach, I'm not going to be coaching anywhere but Detroit next year." And then subsequently, it was leaked that Ben Johnson didn't like the interviewing process and used the phrase basketball guys when talking about what annoyed him about some of the Washington process. Well, obviously, Josh Harris owns an NBA team, and Bob Myers, if you remember,
it was Bob Myers, yeah,
was heavily involved at that time and is still kind of around and in the owner's suite. So he joned. So I just like that side element of this coaching matchup. Johnson, who, depending on how you think it went down, whether he spurred the team or, you know, or spurned the team, or they didn't necessarily fall in love with him. It was this awkward, bad ending where he was talking bad on the back end about the process through reporters. And they end up with Dan Quinn, and now 13 wins and a playoff victory later, Dan Quinn in Washington and those basketball guys are going to be sitting in Detroit as Ben Johnson's calling plays for the Lions.
Isn't that interesting? And so I saw something the other day. I was trying to find the piece just now while you were talking. I couldn't. So apologies for who I'm not giving credit to here. But it was a Dan Quinn's the guy they wanted all along, in history of it. Ben Adam Peters pitched Dan Quinn in his interview, and this was whoever they wanted. I that's fine. Everybody wants to pat themselves on the back and take credit for it.
That is certainly what you should say after you hire Dan Quinn.
Yeah, there's no incentive to be like, yeah, he was our fourth choice. Like, that doesn't help anybody.
No team has ever, after drafting a player, said that the guy they wanted got taken right before the pick.
Sure, he happened to be number one on our board. Isn't that amazing? So here's my response to that is always, the guy that's just waiting just past security for a regular commercial flight at DCA to be photographed by anybody was not your first choice. That's just not how it looks. You ended up with a great guy. You ended up with an awesome star, and that's kind of what we're talking about
now.
It
worked out.
Yeah, but you can't pretend is my only comeback to that. I guarantee you, like when we went back and looked at the draft process when they picked up Jaden Daniels and you treated him first class and, you know, all these different prospects, if they really loved Drake May or really loved Caleb Williams or loved somebody else, you wouldn't have gone and thrown every rose at Jaden Daniels. Similarly, that's just not how you do it when you're talking about hiring a head coach. It's not like an afterthought. It's like, hey, man, you an Uber or something? Well, we might see you later for a second interview. Then there was a delay, and there was all this other kind of stuff. Anyway, the point is, they ended up with a great guy.
They were flying the other coaches around on PJs everywhere.
Yeah.
Nikki Jafala bumped into Dan Quinn after he came to them and was flying out, you know, like everybody else.
He just leave it on a commuter flight. Yeah, leave it on a commuter plane at 8:40 a.m. So, but the point is, that's history. The fact is, they got a great guy. And if the question is, why is he successful?
By the way, sometimes that happens
Yes, of course it does.
Like the Nats didn't want Daniel Murphy.
That's the example I was going to use.
He was their third choice. They wanted Ben Zobrist. He ended up in Tampa at second base. Then they wanted
Brandon Phillips
from the Reds, and he went somewhere else or stayed in Cincy. And they're like, damn it, what are we going to do? All right, let's go Daniel Murphy.
Yeah,
he
nice
ended
postseason.
Up being their best hitter over a 2 or 3 year span, and he was an unbelievable player who elevated his game. Sometimes it works out.
Absolutely.
And I'm thrilled to be wrong about the way this has gone in year one with Dan Quinn. But I will say this. I never didn't think Dan Quinn, who's this unbelievable leader who could build a great staff, could have some success early on. That's never really been my fear. My fear with hiring, not Quinn, but just defensive-minded, I've made the point ad nauseum and people are probably tired of hearing. When Cliff Kingsbury walks, what happens? It's why I wouldn't do it. It's not for me. But I can say that and also still say Dan Quinn's been amazing. He's had a hell of a year. He might end up being the right guy. Not the best guy, in my opinion, in terms of resumes and like ideal of what works over a 20-year span in the league, but the right guy for the right fit. And that's a credit to Peters and the Harris ownership group. If they figure that out and said, this is the perfect guy for us right now, I still say, let me fast forward 2-3 years and see how this goes as you lose some of your offensive acumen in the building. But we'll get there when we get there. For now, the Peters decision of Quinn looks like a grand slam.
Slam dunk, home run, whatever you want to use. So if the question is, why has he been so successful? I think it's a couple fold. Follow through is my biggest one. It's very easy to dominate a press conference to begin with. Remember, we were smitten with Eric Bieniemy at his first press conference. We were smitten with Ron Rivera. These guys have done this enough times where you can shoot your platitudes into the air, finger gun style, tell everybody how violent you're going to arrive, and we're going to be where our feet are. We're going to be about the work, and it's about establishing winning ways day one. It's very easy to say, really hard to do. Does it slip the third Tuesday after you're supposed to get going? Are you skipping the Senior Bowl to play golf because you haven't had a vacation? Are you not doing the things that it takes? Are you getting your car washed on a Friday when the DEA comes, right? Now, if you're the head coach, maybe you've got some time off on a Friday, but you're also the GM. Get your ass to work. See what I'm saying? Like, are you about the work or are you about saying the work? It's very easy to say the thing. It's very hard on a daily basis to get here early, to get in and do everything possible to make sure your team is as good as it can be. And you have to have that follow through where if the line is crossed, here are the consequences. It can't be bent. You got to be reasonable. But at the same time, like, you have to have it. No matter what was happening and swirling around with guys in previous regimes, off the field incidents, even as good and as gentlemanly as Ron Rivera was, you still had guys acting the fool out in public here and there. Right? You still had these things slipping, these practice habits, these tendencies under Jay Gruden, who I love. You got some of the good or the bad personal habits kind of creeping in. Things start to slip. The standard slips. The standard has not slipped here. That takes buy-in from veterans, and that takes picking the right veterans to be able to convey your message, but it also takes being steadfast. Not being Bill Parcells and yelling at guys and belittling people when something doesn't go your way, but basically explaining to them while also being kind of that paternal figure, this is the standard. We don't sometimes meet it. The standard is the standard. Mike Tomlin style to borrow from there. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, for me, I think he's had great success for two reasons. The first, and I think this one was probably a lock when you hired him, as a known, even though he even exceeded my expectations here. He put together a phenomenal staff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the staff is my 1A. Awesome, right? So that's the first thing for me. I wasn't sold on Kingsbury. That's worked out brilliantly. The defensive staff, I think we knew from Jump Street, was really, really good. All the way down to the position coaches that he kept around, or that he brought in, I should say. And even the guys like Kerrigan,
a couple over, yeah,
that are popular in the building that he kept around. The decision to keep DeVita Pritchard as the quarterback's coach, I thought, was a good one. A lot of people wouldn't have done that. The decision to be as deep as he is with young offensive minds like David Blau, who's going back to Detroit, by the way, and Brian Johnson, who was a play caller last year, who took a demotion to come here as a pass game coordinator. I just think it was a good staff. The other reason why he is so successful, and this is something that this year, over the course of the season, I've just come around on, I don't have to buy in or believe in the catchphrases and the shtick, like the brotherhood stuff. It's so real in that building. Mm-hmm. It is such a reality. This is the best team that I've seen built in this organization since the Joe Gibbs 5-in-a-row run of 05 or 4-in-a-row run of 07, mm-hmm, after Sean Taylor's death, when those guys were beside themselves, devastated, and came together. And this might surpass any of that, if I'm being honest. Like, when I say cover, it's a very loose term because I'm not out there every day, right, but I'm in the locker room after games and occasionally during the season, and was at training camp and plugged in enough with people in the building to have a pretty good feel of what's going on. To me, this is the closest knit, most loving team for one another that I can remember covering, being around, what have you, since the 2019 Nationals. That's what was special about that Nats team.
Yep.
That was not the most talented Nats team in baseball that year. That was not the most talented Nats team even in the year before or the year after it, probably, or the couple of years previous. That was the most chemistry proficient, flawless, built in terms of like fit, closest team, I'll use this term, brotherhood operation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Nats used to win the championship. That's what was special about the Caps for all those years with the same core. That's what this team has. But to do it with all these hired guns, with a bunch of one-year contracts, teams that are run by a bunch of dudes with one-year contracts, it's only the opposite of that.
Yeah.
You're looking for money. You're looking to get paid. You're looking for your next stop. For him to build this thing with this ragtag ops with people brought in from all over has been amazing. It's been remarkable. And then let's just call it what it is, too. A big part of this is your quarterback makes you right. I don't mean Dan Quinn as much as just generally
anybody.
Speaking.
Yep.
If Dan Quinn was coaching the Bills with Josh Allen this year, he'd be in the running for coach of the year. If he was coaching the Chiefs, they'd be playing this weekend. He's coaching Jaden Daniels, and Washington, above all odds, is still playing. If he was in Cleveland with their quarterback situation, he'd be picking in the top seven. I'm not trying to belittle him or knock him, but the brotherhood thing works a lot when you're winning, and a lot of their winning has to do with their quarterback. Very little matters who you hire at this role or that role or who your assistants are if you got the right quarterback. And Daniels, we'll see if it happens for many years ahead, but for this year, played at a top five level in the league. And if that's the case, everybody gets to look good.
Yep.
And that's got to be part of the conversation.